But tonight, again, we want to thank you for being here. If you have your book, we're going to lesson three tonight. And in lesson number three, the title in your book, it's paying in or paying with foreign currency. And what it's going to be talking about tonight, it's going to be talking about the needs that the husband has, the needs that the wife has. And so we're going to look at that in the Bible tonight. And so if you have your books, and you'll get those out. And my wife is going to share something with us at this time.
So in my hand tonight, I brought with me $650 of Jamaican money, okay? And the thing about this Jamaican money is that it's real, and there's a real value to it. But if I went down to a Walmart here in Pahrump, Nevada, and I bought some things, or I tried to buy some things, and they gave me the total, and I pulled out my $650 of Jamaican money, they would kindly tell me that that's not the currency we use here. They wouldn't tell me that that's not valuable, what I had, because it is valuable, because it's real. But it's not the currency that we use here. What we're going to be talking about tonight is paying with foreign currency. And how this is going to be a powerful illustration if we allow it to be for our marriage as we talk about it tonight, because many of us enter into marriage trying to pay our spouse with a currency that makes sense to us rather than that makes sense to them. And as we kind of witness the differences of just how women and men are made, we see that God obviously made us equal, but he made us different. And so I think that's going to be the highlight tonight. And if we can really grasp onto the truths that we're going to cover, it would make a huge difference in our marriage. And so in talking about foreign currency, though, we were talking about some funny trips that we have taken or funny things that have happened on a trip. And in one particular moment, I was thinking about how necessary and how needed my spouse was to me at one particular time in life. And I needed him so much, but he was literally on a different continent. So in 2016, I think, 2017, we took a mission trip over to Ukraine. And Doug's grandfather passed away a couple of days before we flew out, and we were taking a group of teenagers. We had a group of about 20 already paid for this trip, so it was necessary that I still go on the trip, but we were going to be separated. So Pastor Collier went with me on this trip, and so on the way to Ukraine, we decided that we would have a stop in Amsterdam and take our teenagers to see the tulip gardens and to go to Anne Frank's house and just do some fun, interesting things of that sort. So we were in Kyiv, Ukraine, and we were heading towards Amsterdam. Well, I had to go to the restroom. I had one of my teenage girls that had to go to the restroom. So we were in this airport in Kyiv. It was scary enough just being in there, but trying to find a bathroom was even scarier. We made it to the bathroom. We were trying to find our way back. We couldn't find our people. We thought they had already gotten on the plane, so we just had our tickets. We had our carry-on, so we got in line into what I thought was the line for our plane. The little stewardess ladies looked at our ticket and said, "Checked us through," like we were in the right line. And there was something about the people that were getting on this plane that I was like, I don't know about this. And then as we were walking on the plane, I was like, this plane really doesn't look that familiar. But again, they kept saying that we were on the right one. So I was like, we are going to Amsterdam. We're not necessarily going back to the U.S. yet. So I just went ahead and we got on the plane, and I was ahead of the teenage girl that was with me. So I walked past the part where you get on and you turn to go down the aisles to find your seat. When I got on there, first of all, the plane was very fancy. And I thought, I didn't pay for this. And the second is these people, their ethnicity, they were very dark-skinned. And they had very dark hair. And I thought, where am I going? And in the back of the plane, this guy that had to be from Texas, wearing the biggest cowboy hat I've seen in a long time. It was really just like an angel, I think, stood up because he must have seen the fear in my face. He said, "Howdy, man, where are you going?" And I said, "Amsterdam." And he said, "Not on this plane, you're not. We're going to Budapest." And I was like, "I gotta get off this plane." But it was in that moment of time where I wish my husband would have not been a continent away from me, because I felt very alone, very unguarded, very unprotected. But man, luckily, we got off that plane. We found our group. And of course, Pastor Collier was hysterically looking for me. Like, he was like, "I can't go home without AJ." But it was just one of those moments where I just needed my husband, you know, and it was in that moment that we laugh at it now, but become very thankful that I do have my protector. I do have my guide, that one that's looking over me, because I couldn't imagine showing up in Budapest with just me and this teenage girl. It was just a really helpless feeling. So it made me very thankful for my husband.
Those of you who went with us, we went to Israel a few years back, and we were staying in a hotel there in Israel, a really nice hotel in Jerusalem. I think we were in Jerusalem. And you always know when you go to a foreign country, you got to have the converters to convert the power, you know, if you're going to have a hairdryer or razor or whatever. My wife that morning was in the bathroom. She'd bulge on her hair. And I was out in the main room, and I thought, well, I have this converter. I'm going to go ahead and shave. So I stuck my converter in the wall, and I stuck my razor, and I turned on. It started working. And, John, I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, the biggest ball of flame I've ever seen in my life blew out of that all the way up to the ceiling. And, I mean, the walls were white like this, but just that area was just, and I screamed like a girl. It scared me so bad. And my wife came out. Of course, she was very kind to come out and check on me, make sure I was okay.
Well, all the power went out.
She's laughing. Well, and that's the second part. Those of you that were on the floor with us, so I hear a bunch of commotion outside, and I open the door, and I look out the hallway, and a bunch of our people and several other people are like, "Hey, what just happened? We lost power." They're like, "Did you lose power?" I said, I sure did. We lost power too. I don't know what happened in that. And I didn't have any eyebrows as I was telling them this, but, you know, hey. And but it's just those things that happen sometimes, and you're really thankful for your spouse. And because it did sense a little bit, and she's coming over, and she's like working with my hair and my eyes to make it look like that. She's like, "If you go out right now, they're going to know." She said, "You got a skin sense of fear, and some things are singed."
And then we had to get a bucket of water and clean that wall.
Yeah,
it was so black.
So we didn't have to pay for it. We had to clean the wall too. So, but those are just things that happen. And but the reality is that when it comes to the currents that he's talking about the needs. Men and women both in a marriage have needs. And the reality is that we understand this, as the guy was saying, a little bit different. Our brains are both different. With our brains being different, it obviously means that our needs are going to be different. All right? All of us in here need and want love. We understand that. We need and we want respect. But there's some things that God has specifically shown us in the Bible that a man wants and a man needs, and what a woman wants and what a woman needs. And so you look, as a matter of fact, Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So God, even when he created Adam and Eve, not only with the brain being different, obviously the physical body being different, but there was a lot of differences. And so that's what we want to look at first, is this currency differences. There's differences in you and I. All right, between my wife and between myself, not just physically, obviously in the mind, as we just saw, because, gentlemen, how many of you can attest that your favorite box in your head is the nothing box? All right, so it's fun to hang out there, okay, and not think about anything. All right, we're the guys, we can sit here and literally look at a wall for 30 seconds, 30 minutes, and a blank face. The women, on the other hand, you can't do that. You, for about 3 seconds, "What are you looking at? I don't see anything there. Why are we not over here doing this? We need to go do this. By the way, you've been to the store. Hey, did you call your boss about this? Hey, did you check on the kids? Did you feed the dog? Did you water the lawn? Did you do that?" You're like, you know, why? Because we're in our nothing box. It's overwhelming to us. It takes us back. We can't breathe, okay? That's the reality, women. When you begin to do that to us, You realize that when we look dumbfounded, it's not that we're dumbfounded, we can't breathe. All right? You literally have taken the oxygen out of our lungs because we're what are you talking about? Too many things. But who's wrong in that? Nobody. Because God's created us that way. And so you see those differences, and you understand not just that, but we are different in the way that we think. We're different in the way that we feel. Okay, for instance, guys, you can watch your wives watch a love story, and they'll tear up and begin to cry. And you're like, it's a different actor. It's the same old movie. It's the same thing. It ends the same way every time, but you cry every time. Don't understand it. But yet, guys, your team wins the Super Bowl. Oh, yes, yes. Your wife's thinking, are you kidding? Why are you crying? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why would you cry? Because a bunch of behemoths are out there beating themselves over a leather ball on the ground. That's because we think different. Our minds are different. Our thoughts are different. We feel different. We respond differently. And how we respond to different things. Things can happen in our life. And how many understand when things happen to you and I in a marriage, when it happens to both of us, how many realize that sometimes the responses are different? We're going through the same thing, but the responses can be absolutely different in how we go through things. For instance, gentlemen, you have a son. They call you at school. The school calls in. Mom answers the phone. You can tell the demeanor is not good. What happened? You will not believe what how many of you have heard this? Your son did. What happened to my son? He was caught out on the playground kissing a girl. The mother's like, I cannot believe. The guys are like, yes, I'm glad he's kissing a girl. Different responses in that. Just depends what goes on into our lives. Why? Because God created us different. In all areas of life, he's created us. And here's the thing is this. It just shows how great a God we serve. Why? Are women wrong? Absolutely not. Are men wrong? Absolutely not. Why? Because when God created them, he created man and woman, and he created them differently. Why? Because he had a specific purpose. What is that purpose? You look at it and you see this. When we cleave together, we complement one another. Aren't you glad? Gentlemen, can I ask you this? What would happen tonight if all of a sudden God just took your wife away from you? How many of us would be in absolute turmoil? Thinking, what would I do without her? All right? Ladies, think about it. If something was to happen to your husband tonight and God removed your husband from you tonight, the response that you would have, what would I do in that? Why? Because we complete one another. It's how we weave. God created us to complement and to complete one another in that. And so,
I was,
I'm sorry, whoever, 5564, if that's your number. All right. Okay. All right.
So, I was thinking that, several years ago, you know, when women have such a issue wanting, these equal rights as a man. And we understand that in the Bible that God did create us equal. We both bear the image of God, and we both are equally loved by God. We're both sinners that need to be saved. We need his grace, and we're both heirs of salvation. We know all these things. Yes, we're equal in that. But when we think about it, equality doesn't erase the distinction that God gave us when he created us. We were literally created not only for different roles, but we were created differently in our makeup. But that doesn't make us of a lesser value. And there's a movement of women that don't believe. They look at it so differently. And so we don't need to be offended by what the Bible says and what our roles are as we get in and talk about tonight. But we need to embrace the fact that God did create us equal, but he did create us distinctively different. And they do fit together. We do fit together, not just biologically like a puzzle, but we fit together emotionally, internally, with all of our personalities, responsibilities, all those things. Those things fit together as well like a puzzle if we'll yield to those differences that we get to talk about tonight. You know, men often, they process problems by fixing them, right? They measure success by their accomplishment, divide and conquer. You know, they feel respect deeply when we give it. They have a tendency to compartmentalize things. We talked about that on the video. They live in boxes, whereas we don't. They often communicate more directly with us, whereas a woman, we process our problems oftentimes by talking through them. And we measure security by the relationships that we have in our life. We feel love and connection deeply, as they would feel respect deeply. We tend to connect emotions with our experiences together. So we tend to remember things more often than our men do. We communicate more relationally than more directly. And these things aren't bad on either way, but they're distinctively different, right? And those are the things that we want to embrace. Again, neither is right, neither is wrong. They're just simply different currencies that we're going to talk about. A husband may say, look, I fixed the problem. Why are you still upset? While the wife is thinking to herself, you know, I really wasn't looking for a solution. I just wanted you to understand me. Does that sound familiar? Are those often the theme of arguments that maybe you've gotten into in your household? That's what we need to consider. So what was happening is that he was paying in dollars, but she was asking for euros. Does that make sense? So the currency that we have, it's not that the value is wrong, but if we're trying to pay each other, we need to pay in their currency, in the currency that they accept, which is what we're going to talk a little bit more deeply about tonight. Marriage is struggle not because there's an absence of love. They struggle because love is being expressed in a currency that they just don't understand. And if there's a struggle, I think it would be that. So the goal of our marriages is really not to convince our spouse to take our currency, the one that we understand, but our goal should be to understand the currency that they are looking for and do our best to pay with that kind of currency.
But also on the next thing on your book, it also talks about, yes, we're different, but we do have the same grace. We do have the same grace. When you think about this with me, neither husband nor wife is more valuable than the other in the eyes of God. They're just different currencies. When God said he so loved the world, that's men and women both of equal love. Why? Because all are sinners. When Jesus came to die on the cross, he came to die for men and women both. There's none that's, neither one, neither gender is more favored than the other gender in the eyes of God, in the eyes of our Savior Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:7, he says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He says then that you and I, as a husband and a wife, if we're both saved, we are joint heirs of the grace of life. All right? And as we continue to look at that, you see I love the little saying that says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, which means this, that Jesus died for all, for the wicked, for men, for women, for children, for all. Why? Because we're all valuable in the eyes of God. He loves us, and in the eyes of our Savior and what he did for us, and dying for us in these. It says in Christ, both have equal value and standing before God. They are heirs together of God's grace. Look on the book, if you would, Colossians chapter number 3. Paul writes, and he just affirms that great truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, where there is neither, and that word neither is the word not. So he says, where there is not Greek or Gentile nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What does that mean? That means Christ is the Savior to all, to the wicked, to men, to women. He's the Savior of all of us. And then Galatians chapter 3, verse number 28, you see again what Paul writes. He says almost the same thing. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. You ever stop and thought about this? If we're all one in Christ Jesus, if God loves us equally across the board, as Jesus loves us equally across the board, Then, husbands, should we not love our wife as the Bible tells us love our wife as Christ loved the church, equal with us? Our wives are not second-rate citizens in our marriage. Our wives are not ones that we look down upon that we can treat as a servant or as a slave. Why? Because in the eyes of God, they were equal across the board because of what? The love of God and what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, we have different needs, different commands to fulfill to have a godly marriage, but understanding this, that we are both valuable to God in the eyes of God and what Jesus Christ did for us. It says in marriage, we have varying needs and responsibilities. A good marriage is one which both spouses learn to understand and to fulfill each other's needs. How many are glad tonight, if you are saved, how many are glad tonight for that same grace? How many are glad tonight that God loves us right where we were, sin and all, and that Jesus loved us and that He came, that He lived and He died for us and provided salvation through His death, burial, and resurrection. So we thank God tonight for that same grace that we have as a husband and as a wife, the grace that took to save us both. And then you look at the next thing and you see the different needs. We have the same grace, all right? What that means is this, what Christ did on the cross, He did for all of us, but we have different needs. And so in that, there are three main passages in the New Testament that highlight the different roles and responsibilities between a husband and wife in marriage. In all three of these, God repeats specific instructions to wives and to husbands, which highlights each great need. And so I want you to go to the first one, Ephesians 5, verse number 33. Now these are the different needs. And he says here in Ephesians 5, 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, talking about husbands, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So you see here a couple of different needs that what? Husbands, we are to love our wives as ourselves, and wives, you are to reverence your husband.
So when we start talking about the currency that we pay our husband, we see that it's respect. We see that it's reverence. So, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. When we look there, you understand that that reverence carries the idea of that respect and that honor, and that we should esteem our husband. We should lift him up. If you look at the same verse, Colossians 3:18, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We have the word submit there again. And that again is explaining that we should arrange ourselves underneath our husbands. We should be subordinate to him. We should subject ourselves underneath his leadership. And again, there's a number of women in our society that get very offended over this verse, but God is not making us, again, less equal or less important. This is the design of how He created the different roles that we live in. So our joy comes in obedience to the Lord, and I can assure you that when you arrange yourself underneath the leadership of your husband and you put your trust in him and you honor him and respect him, then we walk under the blessings of God and we experience a joy in the Lord because we're putting ourselves in the position in which God desires for us to be and to carry. Submission does not mean we're inferior to our husband, not at all. When we take the example that Christ, when he went to the cross, he submitted himself to the Father's will. He was not only co-equal, co-eternal, but he submitted himself to the will of the Father, went to the cross. And ladies, we can look at that example, value that example for our own life, and follow the command of the Lord and submit ourselves underneath the leadership of our husbands. What's interesting to me too is the joy that follows, but then the peace that follows when we put ourselves in that place. When we were, he was considering moving to Pahrump, Nevada, taking us out of our home place that we've been rooted in for the last 25 years, where we raised our children, where we grew up ourselves and rooted ourselves in relationships, all kinds of relationships, and a job and a career for me and what we were doing. And when he was ready to uproot that, I was so emotionally tied to our situation that I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And as I was reading in the Word and I came across the scripture, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. You know, I said, the Lord, that I needed to see that, because my only responsibility in this huge decision of our life is to put myself willingly underneath the leadership of my husband. And so I went to him and I said, look, I need you to know that I trust you and that I will follow you wherever you believe the Lord wants us to go. But I'm not going to participate in this decision because I'm so emotionally tied. I'm so pulled because we'd be leaving our kids. Again, we'd be leaving friendships and what we've known all this time to move so far away to a place where I had zero connection. I said, I have to remove myself, but you have to know that I know what God wants me to do is just to submit myself underneath what you believe is right, and I'm just going to trust in that. Now, ladies, that wasn't hot. That wasn't easy, and it didn't get easy when I decided to obey what God had commanded me to do, but I can tell you this, that God blessed. He was accountable for me and the leadership of our home. If he believed it was God's will for us to uproot and leave everything we knew, then I had to trust that God was going to take care of us. He told the story yesterday that, you know, I do our bills, I organize all those things, and I'm going to tell you, I was in that room, paper after paper. That paper that he took away from me and wadded up in a ball and threw in the trash can, I had worked on that paper for days. I mean, I had all kinds of scenarios, and I was just, my heart was in, I was trying to make it work. I couldn't make it work. But I had to submit myself to his leadership. And what he said was so true. We're going to do this. It's going to be by faith. And all the pieces that I didn't have in my mind, I just had to put it in. Lord, I have to just embrace my role that you've given me as the wife, as the helpmeet. I'm just going to hang on to that, and I'm just going to trust you. And, you know, I have no complaints today. It's been almost 6 years, and I'm happier. I couldn't be more blessed. I would probably be in the same turmoil if he said tomorrow, I think we need to go to wherever. And I would have the same turmoil about leaving these relationships, this place where God has rooted us, that I did in the place that we were at for 25 years. Because God is so good. Yeah. And he took care of all the needs that I could possibly even have. So giving that respect to our husband, that trust. You know what? God will take care of me if I will put myself in obedience to him. And that was under him. I just got to trust him. It's interesting, too. In 1 Peter 3:1, Peter is addressing here. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And he's talking about a situation here to even those that were, their husbands were unbelievers. He didn't leave any big loopholes. So we don't have an excuse in this room to say, yeah, Miss AJ, yeah, okay, you could submit to him. He's a pastor, he's a preacher. Surely he's going to do what God wants. I don't have a husband that believes. Peter emphasized the fact that it's not about the husband that we're trusting in. It's about our heart being obedient to Christ as a believer.
Right.
And what God can do with that would be amazingly powerful. He could use that to bring your husband to the Lord. We're without excuse. We are told that our role is to arrange ourselves underneath our husband, to submit ourselves to him, let him lead our home. If we can take care of our role in that and show him that respect, afford him that respect, trust him and his leadership, God will bless that. He will bless that. We have to trust that. So we have to trust that God is big enough and worthy enough for us to just follow his design. We're equal, yet created so distinctively different. But it's for God's glory. It's for his purpose. not for anything else, but this position that we carry to respect and to honor and to trust and have that yielded spirit to our husbands. Oh, if we could grab onto that, ladies, then and let him lead our home, oh, God will bless you. I'm a recipient of it, and I'm not perfect at it. But when I do obey the Lord and I put myself under there, and listen, it's not a one-time decision. I could do it today, and tomorrow he says something crazy, and I'll have to go through the same process. Lord, what do I do with it? And I'll have to do it again. But it's that should be our heart position. That should be our heart intention, is to constantly put ourselves underneath our husband, trusting that God's plan was for him to be the leader of the home, for him to lead us, for us to submit to that, respect him, honor him, and trust him.
You notice that, you know, at the heart of each instruction, the first to the wives is to give respect and to yield the spirit to their husbands. And to husbands, we have the instruction to give tender love to our wives. So what it basically breaks down to is wives to give that respect, to come under the authority that God has placed upon the husband, and husbands to love our wives. We're going to have a break here in a moment, and when we come back for the second session, we'll go more depth into detail on that. But the next thing I want you to look at, point number two in your book, is now I want to look at the currency types. The currency types. The needs that correspond with these biblical roles of men and women in marriage. You're going to see here that husbands, we are to provide leadership. We are commanded to nurture and to cherish our wives. There, if you in your book, Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to listen to verses 23 through 29. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, or the authority under the direction of God, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth it. And that word nourisheth means that he gives it nourishment to raise it up in maturity, and he cherishes it. He loves and he has a care and he fosters it, even as the Lord, the church. And so just like, you know, here at South Valley, we have been so blessed to see God's blessings upon us as a church. Why is that? Because God, he not just nurtures, as we again see in verse number 29, but he cherishes his church. And he fosters that, and he cares for the church. And we can see that. You see that on a daily basis. If you've been here with our church, you see the blessings that God gives to us. You see the answered prayers that God gives to us here as a church. And he says, as the blessings and the care and the love that God has for his church, men, we are to love our wives in that way. We are to nurture them. We are to come alongside them and love them in such a way. We are to cherish them in that, and to come alongside and to foster, to lead, because that is the, again, that's what the command God has given to you and I as a husband, is that we're to lead and we're to love in the same way that Christ loves us and the way that Christ loves the church. And so, as I was looking at it, you think my wife has already said this, that a wife who gives respect to her husband, think about this, ladies, enables him to fulfill his God-given role. When you, as a wife, give that respect that she's talking about, come underneath the authority of your husband and under that leadership, it gives him and enables him to fulfill the God-given role. Can I tell you this? That the story of us coming out here, when I had AJ with me and we were working out the finances and everything like that, I felt okay in that. But when I finally went in there and I wadded up the paper, and then she told me what she told you a few moments ago, and she said, babe, I'm looking at you. She said, I'm out of this decision. She said, I'm going to come underneath your authority, whatever you decide. And at that point, a couple things happened. At that point, I thought, wow. I thought, she really is showing that she's going to come underneath and wants to be obedient as my wife in this. But it also scared me, because I thought, man, what an awesome responsibility now, because the decision I'm making, if I'm not making the right decision, it's not going to just affect me, it's about to affect her. And she's done her part to come under my authority. and be able to submit, be able to say, Doug, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to go. And I said, Lord, please don't let me make a mistake. Please help me to make that right decision. Fellas, we ought to pray as husbands every single day that God enables us to lead our wives correctly. And in that, we have to have a close walk with our God and with our Father to make sure we're making the right decisions, not just for ourselves, but also for our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, whatever the case may be for you tonight. Because when your wife comes to you and she says, babe, I'm coming under your authority and I'm submitting to you. I'm going to be a subordinate to you, as the Bible tells me to do, and I'm coming underneath you. Fellas, it's a blessing to help us do that God-given role God's given us, but scary too. Because at that point, they're looking to you. And their prayer and hope is this, is that you and I are walking with the Lord. That you and I are going to be able to make the right decisions because they're going to maybe have a big impact on a lot of people. And that's why it's important for you and I to lead and love correctly. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to love. Here's the thing. The closer you and I come to our God, the closer you and I come in our fellowship, in our love, and our discipleship to Him, we'll learn. Holy Spirit will teach us how to lead. Holy Spirit will teach us how to love. But we've got to be willing to surrender to that. You know, the Bible says, as the wife is to come under the authority of the husband is to come under the authority of who? Of Christ. Why is that? None of us know how to lead. None of us know how to love correctly. But Christ does. And the Holy Spirit can enable us to do that. But we have to surrender our will to be able to do that, gentlemen. You see, similarly, we see that wives will support their husbands by following their leadership, demonstrating a peaceful spirit. But husbands, you and I must freely and frequently demonstrate love to our wives, which provides the security that she needs to be able to fulfill her role. We should constantly be demonstrating love to his wife. Why? Because it gives her the security she needs to fulfill her role, to be able to respect you, to come underneath you, and to follow you. And you and I have got to show her, basically boils down to this, we've got to give them a reason to love us. And we've got to be lovable. Maybe that's a good way to say it, in how we lead. That we don't lead as a dictator, but we lead as a godly husband with our wives in these things.
But don't you think, ladies, it's easy to follow somebody that you know without a shadow of a doubt loves you? You've experienced their tenderness. You've experienced their compassion. You've experienced their interest in your life. And so when that's demonstrated to us, it makes it easier to put ourselves underneath that authority in our home. When we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that they're looking out for us, that they care for us, that they love us, that their desire is to please the Lord. That made it possible for me to totally throw my hands up and say, I'm going to follow you. It still wasn't easy, but it was a lot easier knowing that I knew that he was truly seeking the Lord. And I know a God that loves us is not waiting to thump us on the head when we make a wrong turn. You know, but he's going to lovingly continue to guide us. So his heart position was right. And I think it's recognizable in the man's actions. I think that's what made it, like you said, it just made it possible, easier to submit.
You know, I read in the book, it said this, it said, we shouldn't expect for us to not completely fulfill our role as a husband, but expect our spouse to completely fill theirs. You think about this, while a husband may struggle to be a loving servant leader, but he wants his wife to respect him fully. We have to be able to fulfill both roles to the fullest extent that God has given to us in the Bible. And we can't. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I be able to give to my spouse? How can I be able to give that currency to her? How can I be able to fulfill that role of a leader and to love her? I don't understand how I can do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Let me remind you again what this Bible verse says. And be not drunk or intoxicated with wine, which is fermentation, whereas in excess or riotous, but be filled with the Spirit. How are you and I going to be able to be the leaders we're supposed to be? How are we going to be able to love our wives we're supposed to? Wives, how are you and I, how are you going to be able to respect and come alongside, come underneath the authority of your husband to pray for them? I'm going to tell you how the last part of verse number 18, but be filled. And you study that word filled, it means to be controlled by, it means to be influenced by. Listen to me, on a daily basis. Okay, it's not a one time that you come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit for the rest of my life. It doesn't work that way. It's you and I constantly coming to the Lord, saying, Lord, today, help me to be filled. Help me to be influenced. Help me to be completed by the Holy Spirit to help me to be the leader I need to be. Help me to love my wife. Because, guys, let me tell you something right now. If you and I try to be the leaders and we try to love our wives on our own power, it's going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. Because inside of us, outside of our salvation, inside of us, we still have this flesh. And the flesh is very wicked. The flesh is very selfish. If we try to do this on our own power, we're going to fail. But if we do what Ephesians 5:18 tells us, be filled with the Spirit, God help the Holy Spirit to influence me, to control me. In that, because I know if He does, I can love my wife the way I'm supposed to love her. I can lead her the way I'm supposed to lead her with a confidence, with an assurance, because if I can lead her in that, and here's the thing, guys, we need to understand. If you and I will follow the Lord as He leads us, I promise you this, your wife will have no problem following you. But here's what the problem is. If your wife can't trust that you're following the Lord, it's going to be hard for her to come underneath you and to follow you. If she doesn't feel like that you're doing your best to strive, to seek, to search, and to be filled with the Spirit so you can follow the Spirit, if she can't trust and she doesn't see that in you, it's going to be hard for her to come underneath you and to be subordinate to you and to follow you. But if she's able to see that you're seeking, if she's able to see that you have a desire to be filled with the Spirit, that you're doing your best this side of heaven to walk with the Lord, to have that, to be filled, so you can be that man of God, I promise you this, they will have no problem your wife coming underneath you and following you and respecting you. So do you have anything else?
No, we'll go on the break.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break.